Hans was a young shepherd boy who lived in Germany. One day he was keeping his sheep near a great wood when a hunter rode up. "How far is it to the nearest village?" the hunter asked. "It's 6 miles," Hans answered. "But the road is only a sheep track. You could easily lose your way." "Well," said the hunter, "if you will show me the way, I'll pay you well." "I cannot leave the sheep, sir," he said. "They would stray into the woods, and wolves could kill them." "But if one or two sheep are eaten by the wolves, I'll pay you for them. I'll give you more than you earn in a year." "Sir, I cannot go," Hans replied. "These sheep are my master's. If they are lost, I am to blame." "If you cannot show me the way, will you get me a guide? I'll take care of your sheep while you're gone." "No," said Hans, "I cannot do that. The sheep do not know your voice, and..." He stopped at that moment. The hunter realized, "You don't trust me." "No, sir," said Hans. "You have tried to make me break my word to my master, so how do I know that you'll keep your word to me?" The hunter laughed. "You are right," he said. "I wish I could trust all my servants as your master can trust you. Show me the path. I'll try to get to the village on my own." Just then several men rode up from the wood, shouting for joy. One cried out, "Sir, we thought you were lost." Then Hans quickly learned, to his great surprise, that this hunter was the prince. He was now afraid that this great man would be angry with him and he might be in trouble. But the prince smiled and spoke high praise of him. A few days later, a servant came from the prince to Hans's home and took Hans to the palace. There at the palace, the prince said, "I would like you to leave your sheep and come and serve me. I know you are loyal. You are someone I can trust." Hans was happy for this excellent opportunity. So he said, "Once my master finds another shepherd to take my place, I will gladly come and serve you." So Hans went back and tended sheep until his master found another shepherd. And after that, Hans moved to the palace and served the prince for many years. Loyalty is a quality deeply admired, presuming, of course, that loyalty is given to the right person and to the right standards. But with that presumption in mind, loyalty greatly values principles and relationships. Loyalty is sacrificial and constant. Loyalty is duty and dependability. Loyalty is true and trustworthy. Loyalty is something that is proved every day, or it's not loyalty. A Christian is one who is loyal to Jesus. This means total commitment and daily commitment. For following Jesus is never a part-time job. Unfortunately, too many Christians have adopted the idea that loyalty to Jesus is something that happens in a one-time event. You or I pray a prayer and ask Jesus into our heart, or we go and we're baptized and declare our public declaration of loyalty to Christ, or we work hard to become a member at a particular church, and once our name is on the rolls, we feel this sense of security. But what's important is to understand that loyalty is never established in a day. Loyalty is established every day. A true relationship with Jesus is one of absolute devotion lived each day, or it's not loyalty. When John writes the letter we know as 1 John, he writes to a church that has been shaken by the disloyalty of their former members. The Christians John writes to have seen people leave their church because they've embraced new ideas about Jesus and new ideas about sin. And now this church is troubled, so John writes not only to clarify what it really means to follow Christ, who Jesus truly is and what sin truly is. But John writes because he wants to encourage these believers to remain faithful to Jesus. He writes to them so that they will have a settled confidence and loyalty to Christ. John writes because he knows that they have been shaken by those who have been disloyal. And John writes because he wants us not only to understand what loyalty looks like, but he wants us to understand the amazing benefits that come when you and I are loyal to Jesus. Let's consider what John writes. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 5. We'll look at verses 1 to 5. In this passage, John describes the characteristics of a faithful Christian. His description provides assurance for those who live faithfully for Christ, while he gently warns those who are beginning to stray. But most importantly, his words remind us of why we should be loyal to Christ. Who is Jesus? Why are we loyal to him? What benefits come to you and me when we are loyal to Jesus? Follow as I read 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is this that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. What does loyalty to Jesus look like? What does it mean to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? John tells us three things. The first is this: faithfulness to Jesus means believing the right things about Jesus. Faithfulness to Jesus means believing the right things about Jesus. John begins this passage by writing, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." That is a powerful and richly dense statement. John begins by saying that everyone has the privilege of being born of God. Not everyone is born of God, but everyone has this privilege offered to them. Anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ can join God's family. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you will be spiritually reborn. This is an opportunity for anyone. To be born of God, one must believe that Jesus is the Christ. The word believe communicates commitment, devotion, loyalty. Believing is not mere acknowledgement, but dedicated allegiance to Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. It is He that we believe in. What does it mean that Jesus is the Christ? Believing that Jesus is the Christ is to believe that Jesus is the center of God's plan. That Jesus fulfills every promise God has given. God promised to fulfill his plan through the Messiah, and Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. Furthermore, the very first Christians recognize that only God could fulfill the promises that God made. So when Jesus came and fulfilled the promises of God, that helped them to realize that Jesus himself is God. And so to say that Jesus is the Messiah is to say that he is the one who fulfills God's plan, who completes God's promises, who brings the very blessings God has offered. And it's also to say that Jesus is God. And so what does it mean then to be born of God? To be born of God is a spiritual transformation. Our human hearts are dead to God because of sin. But when we are born of God, the Holy Spirit unites with our human spirit, making us alive to God. Once alive to God, we are reborn in God's family, and we become His child, fully accepted by Him. This is the great blessing of believing that Jesus is the Christ. By believing that Jesus is the Christ, we are born of God. We become a child of God. We become accepted into God's family. Let me put it like this. A few years ago, there was an iPad commercial that aired in Germany. In the commercial, an adult daughter has given her dad an iPad for his birthday. As they work together in the kitchen preparing a meal, she asks how he's doing with his new iPad. He says, good. His daughter then asks how he's managing the various apps. And his dad looks at her with a really puzzled look. What do you mean? Then he steps next to his daughter in order to scrape the vegetables he's been cutting into a pot on the stove. The daughter looks on with horror as she realizes that her dad is using the iPad as a cutting board. After scraping off the vegetables, he rinses the iPad in the sink and places it in the dishwasher. The whole time, the daughter stands in utter shock. Finally, the dad looks up at her and says, what? It's a cute commercial that underscores the ever-present gap between generations, while also emphasizing the tremendous cost of misunderstanding. When it comes to understanding who Jesus is, there can be no misunderstanding that we can afford. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one who fulfills God's plan. Jesus is God come to this world. He is the one we are to be loyal to. It's because of who He is and what He has accomplished that we have absolute devotion to Jesus. What does loyalty to Jesus look like? What does it mean to be faithful to Him? John gives a second characteristic. Faithfulness to Jesus means we love others with a godly love. In the second part of verse 1, John writes, "And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well." And that is, when we love the Father of the family, we naturally love His children, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Then in verses 2 to 4, John describes how we are to love our brothers and sisters. Look again at verses 2 to 4. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. John writes that we love God's children by loving God and carrying out His commands. Then he adds that obedience to these commands are not burdensome because we have been born of God. That is, because of our spiritual rebirth, we now have the capacity to love like God. We have a godlike love within us, and we are drawn to loving with a godly love. The world does not love like God. The world defines love differently. And the world pressures those who live by God's standards to not love according to those standards. But since we are born of God, and since God's commands are not burdensome to us, we are able to overcome the pressure of the world. The world looks to try to pressure us to its standards. But once you and I have been born of God, the standards of God are within us. They flow from us. They are not burdensome to us. And we bring a God-like love to this world. This then is faithfulness to Jesus. We continually overcome the pressure of the world to misconstrue the true nature of love and to actually love people with a godly love, a love defined by God's standards. The standards we find in the Sermon on the Mount, where we're commanded to love our enemies, or the standards that are shown in the story of the Good Samaritan, where love crosses incredible barriers and shows great sacrifice for the concern of someone else. These are the standards by which God's love is defined. And we allow those stories, that teaching, to continually shape us so that we live in this world as people with God's love, not warped by the way the world defines love. Let me put it like this. A little boy wrote a story for school and showed it to his mother. She read it with a red marker in her hand, highlighting all of his mistakes. She then handed it back to her son. With tears in his eyes, he said to his mom, "I didn't want you to fix it. I just wanted you to like it." It's easy to decide for ourselves the standards that we want. It's easy for us to say, "This is how I define love." You and I need to have a constant walk with God, taking in His commandments, allowing those commandments to reshape our own standards, our own thoughts, our own impressions, our own desires. We need God's input continually in our lives to truly love with a godlike love. And this is what it means when we talk about being faithful to Jesus. We understand that He has given us God's truth. And if we take in God's truth and allow that truth to shape us so that we begin to adhere to His standards, we begin to live in a way that Jesus lived. We grow in a true concern for others. We love others in a God-like manner. God is love. His standards define the true meaning of love. And so to be a person who truly loves, we must learn God's standards, be changed by those standards, and allow those standards to guide how we interact with others. That is faithfulness to Jesus. Finally, what does loyalty to Jesus look like? What does it mean to be faithful to Him? A third characteristic is this. Faithfulness to Jesus means pursuing Jesus above every other pursuit. The pursuit of Jesus is our primary concern in life. It's so easy to allow our own personal agenda to take over our lives. Things we so want, things we pursue, things we desire. But when you and I are loyal to Jesus, when there's a faithfulness to Christ, that becomes our greatest pursuit. We want to know Jesus, to honor Him, to live for His glory. Look at the middle of verse 4 and into the end of verse 5. John writes, "This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." John once again reminds us of our need to overcome the world. As John has made clear throughout this letter, the world represents all that defies God, all that continues in mutiny to God. And so the world is always looking to pull Christians away from their commitment to Jesus. The world represents everything that tempts or distracts or frustrates or corrupts our devotion to Christ. John declares that we can be victorious. Our victory comes through faith, which is simply our loyalty to Jesus. In all circumstances, we choose to honor our Lord and Savior above everything else. By being loyal to Jesus, we choose to value God's principles and our relationship with God over any other pursuit. And we make this choice every day, no matter the circumstance, or it's not loyalty. And let's be clear that this victory does not mean everything goes our way or that we do not suffer certain losses in this life. The victory is remaining loyal to Jesus when everything is working against our loyalty. The victory is resisting the values of this world in order to live by God's standards. The victory is faithfulness to Jesus above every other pursuit. That is the victory. You and I can always have that victory. There is always opportunity for us to prove our loyalty to Christ in all circumstances, in every situation, on every day. Let me close with this. From time to time, I like to read one of my favorite pieces of writing. These words come from an African pastor who was facing imminent death. There were enemies closing in on him with the intent of taking his life. But far from feeling regret or fear or wanting to end his faithfulness to Jesus, the intense persecution he was facing simply strengthened his loyalty to Jesus. Listen to the words he wrote before he died. I am a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit's power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look up, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, mundane talking, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by presence, lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My pace is set, my gait is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, diluted, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, back up, let up, or shut up until I've preached up, prayed up, stored up, and stayed up the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until heaven returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he comes to get his own, he will have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear. A Christian is one who is loyal to Jesus. That means total commitment and daily commitment. A true relationship with Jesus is absolute devotion to live for him each and every day. For if it's not that, then it's not loyalty. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you again for your word and the truths that are here for us. Now implant these truths in our heart. May they grow, transforming our own character more and more into the likeness of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray this all in his name for his honor. Amen.